All right. One more trip back into the audio archives to when I have Rudy Giuliani here on Issues and Ideas.
My guest has been a public servant in a variety of positions. Among his standout resume points are his years as a U.S. attorney and, of course, mayor of New York City, where he led not just the city, but I believe the nation in recovering from the September 11th terror attacks. He joins us this morning to talk about some of the political and judicial matters taking place around our neck of the woods these days. We say good morning to Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
How are you?
Very good to have you here this morning, and I want to have you here for a variety of reasons. One of those is the fact that this coming Tuesday we have our Republican primary for the race for governor here in New Jersey, and you came out very strongly in support of Chris Christie, which I think this puts to rest any rumor that some people try to make about the Republican Party being so narrow, because here we have a Yankee fan coming out to support a Met fan. How much more of an open tent can you possibly have?
That was the difficult part of it. But no, I actually like the Mets. I just love the Yankees, right? and therefore it wasn't that hard. But Chris, terrific candidate, terrific U.S. attorney, great record as a leader, and therefore the right kind of personality and approach for governor of New Jersey at a time in which you've got to cut taxes, cut spending, keep the state safe with all the different threats that loom out there, including threat of terrorism. You couldn't have a better choice than Chris.
Well, you can certainly bring us into the view of how, because the naysayers say someone who is a U.S. attorney doesn't have the chest of tools needed to run a state. Unlike, well, some people said a certain Wizard of Wall Street would have had the fiscal knowledge, but apparently that didn't work out too well here in New Jersey.
Kind of worked out well for New York with me. My experience as a public official, I'd been as an assistant U.S. attorney and U.S. attorney when I became mayor. And that same argument was used against me. And I think one of the strengths of my mayoralty was the way I handled the economy. I actually did what needs to be done right now, which is I lowered spending, I lowered taxes. And I lowered taxes to the lowest levels they had been at in New York in a very long time. And it helped to create an economic resurgence for New York. Chris has the right background for this.
When you are a U.S. attorney, how much managerial skill comes into play? Because when you look at the state of affairs in New Jersey, you have an educational system that is in turmoil, some would even say ruins. You have a state government which has far more departments than many say need to be there. How much managerial skill does being a U.S. attorney, whether it be managing what you do in a courtroom as well as managing the people that you have to oversee in your day-to-day responsibility, how much does that become an asset when you go into a political office like yourself, mayor, and Mr. Christie, presumably for governor?
Well, all of that does come into play. But you know the most important thing? You learn to make decisions. And that is what is lacking. That is what is lacking in public office now. I mean, a lot of people can't make decisions. They let the legislature push them around. They let special interests push them around. As a United States attorney, you learn how to make decisions. You learn that it's important to make the right decisions and to stand up for the things that you believe in. And, you know, I can think of a lot of examples of people who were U.S. attorneys that went on to become really great governors, Governor Thompson in Illinois, Governor Thornburg in Pennsylvania. So this is a very good background for taking on leadership.
And you can go back in history. A certain lawyer from Illinois became a president by the name of Abraham Lincoln, by the way.
right.
I brought out this interview from the audio archives of Issues and Ideas for a reason. That reason, I'll have the answer for you in just a bit.
This might be an obvious for those who follow law or more above average observers, but we have what has been called an activist judicial branch, the state Supreme Court here in New Jersey. How important would it be to have someone who is well-versed in the law sitting in the governor's chair for when the state Supreme Court decides to become activists instead of supporters of the written law?
Well, I think it's very important that an executive who selects judges understand that what you have to have put people on the bench is someone who has an adherence to the law, someone who understands that the job of a judge is to interpret, not to make law. When a judge decides to make law, a judge, I think, distorts the separation of powers. The idea is the legislature makes the laws, the executive carries out the law, and the judicial branch interprets the law. And particularly if the judicial branch oversteps that bounds, since they're not elected, by and large, right? They're appointed at the highest levels. well, then we have unelected officials usurping the powers of our elected officials.
Paint us the picture of how important a prosperous and strong New Jersey is for the region's economy, because when you think of this area, New York obviously is always first because of New York City and all that takes place, but when New Jersey is in the shape that it's currently in, how much of an impact, through your experience, does that have on not just New York City, but really the New York metropolitan area?
Tremendous impact. I mean, you have to think of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, I mean, large parts of it almost as an entire economy of its own, because so many people work back and forth, so many families live in all two or three places, so it's its own economy in a way. And the reality is that any one part of it not doing well hurts. And now, right now, all three are suffering. But New York and New Jersey are making the terrible mistake, their governors are, of raising spending in a period like this. This is a perfect opportunity. This is the time when you can cut the significant excess in government. That's what I used it for. I faced exactly the same circumstances. You might say they weren't as bad, but they were pretty darn bad. We had a $2.3 billion deficit. We had even higher unemployment than we have right now. And I didn't raise spending the way Governor Corzine has done and the way Governor Patterson has done. I lowered spending. And then I lowered taxes. And that really helped to revive the economy of New York City. And it doesn't take particular insight. It just takes a certain amount of common sense to understand what needs to be done. But then it takes the leadership that Chris Christie has to get it done.
I wanted to get your opinion on something. This was from Mr. Christie's opponent, Steve Lonigan, who apparently considers yourself, State Senator Joe Carillo's, former Mayor Brett Schindler, State Senator Gerald Cardinale, and Congressman Chris Smith not worthy of saying that Chris Christie is a conservative. Apparently, Mr. Lonigan doesn't feel you're part of the Republican Party, and along with that group, such as Mayor Schindler or Chris Smith, who is one of the more pro-life members of Congress, by the way.
Well, you know, I think I've earned my position as a member of the Republican Party. I got elected as mayor of New York City as a Republican twice. I was the first one in 25 years to do that. I'm the first one in 50 years to remain a Republican after getting elected as a Republican. So I think I've earned my position in the Republican Party. I've probably helped more Republican candidates in the last 8 or 10 years get elected to office all over the country than I think anyone else. I've campaigned tirelessly on behalf of the Republican Party, and I believe in the principles of the Republican Party. Doesn't mean I agree with every single thing. I'm not an automaton, you know. But I do believe in what I think are the core principles, which are the things New Jersey needs right now: lowering taxes, lowering spending, a strong national defense, strong security, taking a strong and a positive approach to terrorism rather than a position of wanting to wish it away, which is what, unfortunately, I think many people try to do. They try to deny what the major operating principles are of extremist terrorism. So I think I'm a Republican, and most other people agree, and everybody has entitled to their opinion. But I think this is part of Chris's opponent's campaign. You know, it's not reality. Chris is as conservative a Republican as anyone.
I want to wrap up with one question. This alludes to the fact that, you know, we have an activist state Supreme Court here in New Jersey, and Barack Obama nominated Judge Sonia Sotomayor, who, you know, quite frankly, mockingly almost said that, you know, the judicial has to be the legislative and active. If you have heard that, I know there's a clip on YouTube.
I certainly did hear that. I certainly disagree with that, as you can tell from the comments that I've made, that a judge is exactly the opposite. A judge is not supposed to be making policy. A judge is supposed to be interpreting the law. But I think in looking at Judge Sotomayor, Republicans are going to have to take a good look at all of her opinions, not just that statement. And then there's a belief that I had, and I've had this belief whether it was a Republican or Democratic candidate, which is, you know, the American people elect a president, and a president gets to choose basically the philosophy he wants in his Supreme Court justice and cabinet members. And it's only if somebody significantly exceeds the bounds that you should oppose it. So I think I'd have to take a look at Judge Sotomayor more carefully. But that would give me great pause, that statement, because it is exactly what is wrong with large segments of the judiciary right now. They truly believe that they're no different than a legislator, that they can make law. And that really does distort, particularly at a national level, that distorts our separation of powers in the Constitution. So this is going to be a, this is going to be something Republicans have to take a really good look at. They're going to have to read her opinions, listen to what she has to say, and make a decision, not that they agree or disagree with her. We're not going to agree with her, but whether she significantly exceeds the bounds of what the kind of discretion you'd give a president.
You want to keep up to date with what Mr. Giuliani is doing, his corporate website, GiulianiPartners.com. And as a Yankee fan, I'll ask you to use your influence to see if you can get the Yankees to put Jabba Chamberlain back in the bullpen, please.
Well, last night, I mean, two things I would say about Java. One, he got hurt the last time he pitched, so I don't know if that's still bothering him. And second, he had that long delay after getting hurt. So he's actually been a pretty effective starter. I mean, I liked him a lot in the bullpen. I think that eighth inning role is so important. But so far, his numbers as a starter, put last night aside for a second, each start he's been doing better and better. So let's see what happens. They're doing pretty well. They've won a lot of games. They're, what are they, one or two games out of first place after having a very weak start. I'm pretty happy with where the team is right now. And I like Hughes as a starter. I think he's really coming along. And we've got Wong sitting there who really is anxious to start and I think is probably ready. So let's see what happens.
It's going to be fun. Thank you, Mr. Giuliani.
Take care.
Now, let me explain why I did this. What happened to those people? People you just heard speaking rationally, wisely from yesterday? They've become hardcore members of the cult of Trump and pushers of the big lie. Does that make you think of someone you know who's taken that same path? You can remember what they used to be like, how you could talk with them, but now they're just totally entrenched in conspiracies. So how do you get that family member, that friend, that coworker back? How can you, I guess, how can you deprogram them? Butting heads with them by throwing reality just results in resistance on their part, so why not try this? Ask them for proof of what they're claiming. Put it on them to show up with something more than, well, everyone just knows. And sit down with them and what they show up with and discuss it. Keep the responsibility on them to prove it by asking questions from the point of logic. Might take a few tries, may take some time, but if you can just get that person to at least start questioning what they've come to believe, you might just help them escape Trump Island.